हरि ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
ओके पेज 72 चैप्टर 22 एनुमरेशन ऑफ द एलिमेंट्स ऑफ मटेरियल क्रिएशन डायलॉग ओवरव्यू हैविंग अंडरस्टूड द मीनिंग ऑफ कर्मकांड उद्धव नाउ इंक्वायर्स अबाउट द मीनिंग ऑफ ज्ञानकांड He asked how many different elements of creation the great sages have enumerated, and why is there disagreement between them? Another doubt arises from this discussion. Although Parikrit and the Lord are intrinsically different, or Prakriti and the Lord, I was going to say Parikrit and the Lord, what is this? What is that? Why is this a discussion? Yeah, okay. Another doubt arises from this discussion. Although Prakriti and the Lord are intrinsically different, because they seem to depend on each other in the body, they do not appear different. People who think in this way have turned their attention away from Krishna, their own true self, and are unable to give up material life. They become bound by karma. Thus they accept and give up higher or lower bodies. Hearing this, Uddhava inquires how such materialists are born and die. Having described the position of the materialist, the Lord contrasts it with the attitude of the pure devotee, who, even though insulted by bad men, uses his intelligence to keep himself safe on the spiritual platform. But, yeah. Does that make sense? So in other words, safety on the spiritual platform is the most important thing, because otherwise... Yes. Insulted by bad men, then generally you're worried about your physical or economic or social or some other standing. But if to maintain that you lose the spiritual position, then what's the point? Mm. So that's why we see is that these great devotees, then they always maintain the spiritual platform. They're not as worried about the other aspect. Right? Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, let's say, you're washing your, whatever it is. You're in the kitchen there, you know, you got yourself a cookie, but then you thought, I should wash my hands. You put the plate with the cookie down there. And, you know, you want to, whatever it is something on the ring, you take off your gold wedding ring, put it down, wash your hands nicely, okay? Now, the normal thing, you put on the ring and take your cookie. Now, what if there's a danger? You're going to take the ring, not the cookie, right? No? Depends upon your relationship. Yeah, okay.
What about forgiveness? When some Vaishnava commits some offense to the other Vaishnava or the guru, that is worse, because we know how offense, if commits offense to the guru, not just because... guru, but because he's the representation of God here on earth. And when we offend a guru, we are offend the faith and the religious principles. And I want to know how important, and what about the scriptures says about the forgiveness, because when we offend guru of others or the disciples of a specific guru or many gurus, we are destroying or putting them in themselves in danger to lose faith, and sometimes faith is everything that you have. You don't have anything more. So My question is, what about the forgiveness?
It means that that's the inherent nature of the devotees, is that, that element of forgiveness. Because it's that forgiveness is a natural quality, because material consciousness is not actually real for the soul. So it's not taken so seriously from that aspect. As long as they identify with it, then it would be taken seriously. But for yourself, you're not going to take it very seriously. Right? But as soon as you see as that attitude is adjusted, is changed, then at that point, then they would deal appropriately with the person. Does that make sense? You know, being that that mood of forgiveness will be there, so you deal like that. Does that make sense? Because the material platform is temporary, so. Okay. But if they're still, you know, being offensive, then you just, you know, understand that they're controlled by the modes of nature and just avoid them. That's all. But if they've given that up, then it's not a problem.
And when we commit offense and some devotee lose temporarily the faith, how can we try to rescue or just keep going in our service and try to inspire? And
means this, the point is there is the aspect of what do you call it? What's it called? Apologizing, you know, like this. There's that aspect, and then trying to set things correct. If you're, you know, the person who ever's made this mistake, right? Yeah, that's the standard. Uddhava applies that even learned persons have a strong nature of intolerance and request for more elaborate explanation. Because right? You see the sages or the muni, one of the qualities of a muni is that he'd be able to get angry. They get angry very easily, right? Because they're controlling the senses and they have, you know, very high understanding of things. So anything that's outside of the, you know, appropriate understanding or is to deal with the senses, they may become angry. So he's saying, learned to have a strong nature of intolerance. Yes. So, but Krishna was pointing about the pure devotees who are above that.
Yes.
Position. Mm. Yeah. Pratigya. Illusion based on material dualities prevents one from realizing the self. Chapter 22 summarizes questions and answers. Sri Uddhava asked Sri Krishna question 11:18 of Srimad Bhagavatam. From 11:22, 1 through 3. Uddhava inquired, "My dear Lord, O Master of the Universe, how many different elements of creation have been enumerated by the great sages? I have heard you personally describe a total of 28 28 gods." So we're talking here, you know, it means we're talking Valhalla here, or, you know, maybe like that. Or what was it, Olympus? Is that the other one? Yeah, like that. Though in America, there's only one person in Olympus, but, you know. Okay, personally describe a total of 28. Okay, and then it's supposed to be a list. Okay. Yeah. God, the jiva soul, mahatattva, false ego, the five gross elements, the 10 senses, the mind, the five subtle objects of perception, and the three modes of material nature. But some authorities say that there are 26 elements, while others cite 25, or else 20, or else 7, 9, 6, 4, or 11, and even others say that there are 17, 16, or 13.
Maybe they just don't know the math.
They're sages. They know math. Yeah. But amazing, his intelligence to be able to remember all those things. What did each of these sages have in mind when they calculated the creative elements in such different ways? O Supreme Eternal, kindly explain this to me. Sri Krishna answers this question in verses 4 to 25. Would have asked... Sri Krishna question 11:29 of Srimad Bhagavatam. From 11:22:26. Sri Uddhava inquired, although nature and the living entity are constitutionally distinct, O Lord Krishna, there appears to be no difference between them, because they are found residing within one another. Thus the soul appears to be within the material nature and the nature within the soul. Sri Krishna answers his question in 29-34. Uddhava asked Sri Krishna question 1130 from 1122-35-36. Sri Uddhava said, O Supreme Master, the intelligence of those dedicated to fruitive activities is certainly deviated from you. Please explain to me how such persons accept the superior and inferior bodies by their materialistic activities and then give up such bodies. O Govinda, this topic is very difficult for foolish persons to understand. Being cheated by illusion in this world, they generally do not become aware of these facts. Krishna answers this question in verses 37-59. Then, question 31, Uddhava to Krishna. Then from 11:22, 60-61. So this is a bigger chapter. Sri Uddhava said, O best of all speakers, please explain to me how I may properly understand this. O soul of the universe, the conditioning of one's personality in material life is very strong, and therefore it is very difficult even for learned men to tolerate the offenses committed against them by ignorant people. Only your devotees who are fixed in your loving service and who have achieved peace by residing at your lotus feet are able to tolerate such offenses. Sri Krishna answers this question in the next chapter with a story of the Avanti Brahmana and in chapter 24 while describing Shankya. Adhyaya Prakashika. Right, so that's another topic. The other ones, so we're discussing about the jnanis and how they see the elements of the universe. Right? And why there's different, different classifications. Right? Like that. So, yeah, we've touched on this, but we see Krishna has a whole chapter just about this. Right?
So now it's very practical to that Krishna is going to explain.
Yes.
Like, can reconcile everything.
Yes. Okay, Adhyaya Prakashika. In the 22nd chapter, the elements are enumerated, with clarification of any contrary explanations, and questions about Prakriti and Jiva, and about birth and death are explained. Sardar Tadarshini, 11:22-1. There are many opinions concerning the number of material elements, but this difference of opinion brought about by the influence of the illusory energy is not illogical. All the elements of nature exist everywhere, so authorities who have accepted the illusory potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead may propose a variety of theories. The insurmountable illusory energy of God is the root cause of their mutually contradictory arguments. There is no difference between the ultimate enjoyer and the supreme controller. To presuppose any distinction between them is senseless. Ordinary knowledge is simply a quality of material nature, not of the soul proper. The raw substance of material nature is designated according to its different phases. In the mode of goodness, it is known as knowledge, in the mode of passion, as activity, and in the mode of darkness, as ignorance. Time is another name of the Supreme Personality Godhead, and another name for material propensity is sutra, or mahatattva. The 25 elements of nature are the Lord, nature, the mahat, false ego, ether, air, fire, water, earth, the eyes, ears, the nose, the tongue, the skin, speech, hands, the feet, the genitals, anus, the mind, sound, touch, form, taste, and smell. The unmanifest Supreme Personality merely glances at nature. Material element, nature. See, here it says the mind. It doesn't mention intelligence. Right? Because that means it's included within there, because we've added the Lord. So that's the whole point, is you can put it together in so many ways. Now, that defined by the Lord and all that, in other words, in line with the parampara, then that will have the natural form. The other ones, then they'll have some particular way they're looking at it. That's why they'll have that. But otherwise, you see, Lord Brahma, I think, gives it as nine. You know, like that. So it's so they're all. So he's just asking, why are there all these different? Why don't they just all say the same thing?
Yes.
Because in this context, false ego is the ahankara.
Yes.
As in general, false ego.
Yeah, but it's also yeah.
What about the jiva?
Here, because they would be included with the Lord. Because technically, it means you know, like Kapila, then the Lord and the jiva aren't mentioned there. Then you'll have theirs, you'll have the polluted consciousness.
We have 24 on the same here.
Yeah. And so then when you add, then you it's just a matter of how much you want to bring out. Like someone put in the three modes of nature, like you mentioned about when you have the 28.
Yes.
Then they'll add the three modes of nature.
Yes.
The nature that says here, it's
that's Pradhan. Nature is Pradhan. Because Pradhan is the original thing, because that includes the modes of nature. That's what it is. Then Mahat means then when that comes out, so that, you know, with a desire to enjoy, right? So it's another name for material propensity. Because otherwise, when you have Pradhan, you can have Pradhan and there's no material propensity. Right? Because it's just the material energy itself. But for the, you know, those who have a relationship with Krishna, they have no interest. So it'll just remain as Pradhan. But because the jiva has the material propensity, therefore Pradhan is transformed and becomes Mahatattva, you know, or here it's Sutra, right? Because that's the essential point, material propensity. That's the Sutra, right?
Maharaj, and also about prana.
It means?
The prana is one of the elements, so where that will be in this list? Or is it somewhere?
In air?
In air?
Yeah, or you have the Lord. Yeah, it just depends what you want to bring out. The unmanifest Supreme Personality merely glances at nature. Material nature, which is under the control of the Supreme Lord, then assumes the forms of causes and effects and carries out the creation, maintenance and destruction of the material world. Even though the Purusha and Prakriti appear non-different to superficial vision, there is an ultimate difference between the two. Material creation, just like there's the jiva and the body, then you think that they're one thing, because that was one of the questions. But they're actually two. But they're functioning together, so the same way the Supreme Lord, by his glance, then he is pervading the material energy, so it'll appear to be one, but actually they're two. Right? Material creation is produced from the modes of Prakriti, and its quality is transformation. The living entities who are inimical to the Supreme Personality of Godhead take on and give up various kinds of material bodies through the agency of their own material work. But those who are ignorant of the self, because of being bewildered by illusion, do not understand this. The mind, which is filled with ideas of fruit of work, simply takes the senses with it from one body to another, while the soul follows along. Nevertheless, on account of being totally absorbed in sense gratification, one cannot remember his past existence. Right? Because you don't. It means if you're going to have variety, then you can't remember the past existence. Otherwise, it'll just be the same thing. Right? So that's the whole.
I'm not sure I get that. Why?
Yes.
Because we had this already.
Yeah, it means it's just like, okay, one is attached to going to this particular restaurant, but now you need variety. You go to some other restaurant.
Yeah.
Right? So how long can you go to that restaurant? Right?
Mm-hmm.
So now when you change bodies, you forget you used to go to that restaurant. Now you come across and go, wow, check this place out. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and then you start and you put it out on your blog, the whole thing. Yeah.
Then you figure out that there already is a blog and it's you in the past life.
Yeah, yeah. Who is this
Who's
guy?
This? Like, yeah. Oh, he's dead.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Right. Facebook is also eternal?
Krishna says in the Gita, don't, what do you call it? Disturb the minds of the ignorant.
Most confidential.
Huh?
Most confidential.
Yes. The body undergoes 9 stages of manifestation, which are brought about by association with the qualities of material nature. These are impregnation, gestation, birth, childhood, youth, maturity, middle age, old age, and death. From the death of one's father and the birth of one's son, a person can easily comprehend the rise and fall of his own body. The soul, who is the perceiver, is different from his body. But when there is no knowledge of the true facts, the living entity, confused by the objects of sense gratification, achieves his destination within the cycle of material existence. Thus, the living entity continuously wanders under the spell of material work, taking birth as a sage or as a demigod when he is predominated by the mode of goodness, among the demons or human beings when he is predominantly influenced by the mode of passion, and in the species of ghosts, spirits, or animals when he is predominated by the mode of ignorance. The spirit soul does not engage in the enjoyment of sense objects. Rather, it is the senses that perform this activity. Therefore, the living being has no actual need for sense gratificatory pleasures. With the exception of those peaceful personalities who have taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and who are dedicated to the divine duty of his service, everyone, including so-called learned scholars, is inevitably overcome by the all-powerful material nature. Shlokana Sharanam, verses 125, the elements of material creation, 26-34, Purusha and Prakriti, 35-56, changing bodies, and 57-61, the transcendental platform. Okay. Verses 1-25, the elements of material creation. Uddhava inquired, "My dear Lord, O Master of the Universe, how many different elements of creation have been enumerated by the sages? I have heard you personally describe a total of 28, right? Because that's what Krishna was talking about before. God, the jiva soul, the mahatattva, false ego, 5 gross elements, the 10 senses, the mind, the 5 subtle objects of perception, and the 3 modes of nature. But some authorities say there are 26 elements, while others cite 25 or else 7, 9, 6, 4, or 11. And even others say that there are 17, 16, or 13. What did each of the sages have in mind when he calculated the creative elements in such different ways? O Supreme Eternal, kindly explain this to me." Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, "Having clearly understood the meaning of Karmakanda, Uddhava now begins to ask about the meaning of Jnanakanda. He first asked for a conclusion of the various statements made by different stages. Which opinions are correct among those of many sages who claim, 'This is what I think'?" End quote. "You should explain with what intention others proclaim a variety of opinions about the number of elements." Right? Because if you just hear about that, what's the intention? Then you start to see why it might be applied in different ways. So if they're all correct, there's a different intention in using that one. Right? And if the intentions aren't actually proper, then those who have the improper intention, then it'll come out one way. Those who have the proper, then they'll have theirs. Right? "O Lord, who lives for all time with an eternal form, I should ask you, since you alone know the intentions of all sages, who have a beginning, middle, and end." Oh, I was thinking, why is he bringing a pipe for water when it's raining? I was going to ask him, but I thought, you know, we were just reading about the ignorant, so I thought, you know, we'll just let her, right? You know, but now I see it's going inside. Let's see. So it's raining outside, so you make it rain inside. Yes, balance. Lord Krishna replied, "Because all material elements are present everywhere, It is reasonable that different learned Brahmins have analyzed them in different ways. All such philosophers spoke under the shelter of my mystic potency, and thus they could say, anything without contradicting the truth. When philosophers argue, I don't choose to analyze this particular case in the same way that you have. It is simply my own insurmountable energies that are motivating their analytical disagreements. Right? As we saw before, is that all the philosophies, right? Because he mentioned this before, are all coming from him. So then, it's through his energies he motivates them to come up with all these different theories. Because that way, then, the general populace and that can follow these different sages if they're not interested in pure devotion. Right? Because somebody has to come up with it. Right? That makes sense? I say, somebody had to do it, right? Yeah, so. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur writes, actually, there is no quarrel among the sages. The sages speak the truth since all the elements are within all the other elements. Why is there a dispute at all? There's bewilderment from my Maya. My Maya gives them the ability to accept this Maya and dispute as long as the sun and moon exist. Right? And they'll be around for a while. So, yeah. So his potency allows them to do this. Right? So does that mean someone who likes to come along and start a conversation so that two other people get into an argument and fight and then they stand back and watch, then they would be representing the external energy here? Because that's what she's doing, right?
Yeah.
Maharaj, also we saw before that Krishna says, I'm the speculation among...
Ah, yes, he's the speculation. Otherwise, yeah, how could they speculate so much unless Krishna is that potency?
There's a lot of potency there. Sometimes.
Yeah. Dispute is graphically portrayed. In their disputes, the cause is the action of my energy. This means it is my Shakti called Avidya, which takes the form of their various disputes. It is said in the Hamsaguya prayers, I offer my respects to the great Lord of eternal qualities, whose material energy is the cause of agreement and disagreement among all those who make philosophies and then argue. With others, but whose material energy continually bewilders them as to the real nature of Atma. Srimad Bhagavatam 6.4.31. Right, so, is Krishna's potency that's making everything happen? So, okay, we accept, okay, in the karma level, it happens. Okay, Krishna's potency is throughout, everything has, you know, the floor does floor stuff because Krishna's potency, we can walk because of that. Does that make sense? But now Krishna's pointing out how even in the platform of Jnana, it's still all him. And then the jiva just takes part, right? Because you say the other one, everyone's going to agree to that. And then once you've kind of accepted the principle, now you go into the intellectual part. Otherwise the intellect is, no, my intelligence, like that. So now it's kind of like the other one, okay, it made sense, so now it's like we have to agree to this one also.
Getting closer and closer.
Yeah, it's getting closer and closer.
Sometimes we have discussion with the atheistic people. So they say, God only is giving me this intelligence.
Yeah, so he is.
What we can tell them, like...
Yeah, it's just, he's giving you that intelligence because that's what you want. Because you want to not know God, so God's giving you the ability, you know, how to not know him. And those who want to know him, he's giving the ability how to know them. So why argue? You don't want to know God, so therefore just go on with that. Why do you have to argue with everybody else who's no God? You like it, be happy. Right? You know, it's just like, let's say, okay, you get your idlis and you get your sambar, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, you know, you can just pick up the idli, break off a piece, take some chutney, take this, that, you do it like that, right? I've seen some people, they will take the idlis and smoosh them up and then pour in the sambar and then eat it with the, you know, so it's like rice and dal and then you eat the coconut chutney with it like a sabji. Right? Like that. And by the way, you can actually get more flavor that way. Then, you also have those who will take the bowl, put the idlis into the bowl and pour the sambar on top. You know, or they'll even do that with waters, right? That's also very famous. Right? So now, let us say you adhere to one of these schools. So does that mean now you go out and, like Ramanujacharya, crawl up on top of the gate and shout out that this is the real way? You know, you are the light, you are the way, you are the idli. You know, like that kind of thing. Yes, like that. But no, that one's already there. It's already heading in its own direction. So your way is the highway. So you're taking that route. So you're not in the variety of idli vads. You're a chapatiwala. Okay. So now, is it a thin chapati? Is it a fat chapati? Is it a medium-sized chapati? Prabhupada made this one chapati, they were this big. Super thin. Like that. Even thinner than, you know, a fulka. Like that. It's only that big. It's not those big monsters. It's thinner than that. It's, you know, if you only roll a bit, one about, you know, what would that be? Like, you know, 3 inches. Like that. How thin you can roll it, you know, and then they cook it and it'll be perfectly puff up and everything like that. You know, it's like one chapati is one serving.
Those chapatis are usually being made for making kakaras the next day.
Kakaras, yeah. They probably just, he would have them. He showed his servant how to make those. So which chapati is it? Are you going with those big fat chapatis? Now, there's one kind of chapati in Rajasthan. It's so big and fat that they actually poke their fingers into it before they start cooking it. Right? You know, one, so it'll cook, and two, so afterwards it'll hold enough ghee. That's the main point. Exactly. You know, you want it cooked.
Primary and secondary.
But you could cook it longer, but then it's so smooth the ghee won't stick, so you make the holes first. So which chapati?
Thin one.
The thin one. Okay. And which size is this thin one? He's being careful about his answer because then we can get him down to exactly which village he's from. Right? Okay, so. And so now is there an advantage to you going out and you're in that particular, you know, thin, medium-sized chapati philosophy and now go out and argue with all other contenders?
It's
called
crusade.
Huh?
Crusade.
Yes, the crusade. Yes, going on. No? Yeah. So then. Not so important.
What about butter and bread?
Butter and bread, yeah. Well, I'm not sure because he's not revealing exactly his thing like that. But then you have the. How do you call it? In the heavy, the pav bhaji, then you have to put butter on that. Huh?
Secret.
It's a secret, huh? But we know the method to find out. Right, so, right, German accent isn't so good, but we have our way.
Our methods.
Yes.
So Maharaj, can we say that there are more or less same type of obedience and same type of consciousness that we have?
Who?
Means the jiva can have. There is a lot of difference in consciousness.
Yes, yes.
So we can have different level, different opinion according to the level of consciousness.
Yes, according to the level of consciousness and that. That's exactly what it is. So you have all these. It means you have general categories. That's why we say sages.
Yes, yes.
And so if you have someone who's not a sage, probably all the sages would get together against them. And once they've gotten rid of that guy, now they'll fight with each other.
Yes, yes.
You know, it's like, you know, what do you call it? The Afghanis, right? they've been at each other's throats since time immemorial, right? You know, since the time of even a time of Shakuni, they're not considered that, you know, they're considered a wild bunch. Then, right? Because that sometimes they will also call him by, you know, he's, you know, about in connection with the place in a derogatory way, meaning, you know, they're wild people.
Yeah.
Even though they're the kings, but still, they're, you know. So then it's like, what do you call it? It's like Nala. I think he's also known as Nishada, because his kingdom is in charge of the Nishadas. So he's also known as Nishada. Like that. So then, yeah. And now I've forgotten what we were talking about. Because I got into Nulla. And
as
then,
soon as the Russians came, the Afghans...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Weren't. So then when the Russians came in, they all banded together.
Yes.
And then fought like anything that the Russians, one of the major powers, could not defeat them. Right? But as soon as then the Russians left, again they go back to fighting with each other. So...
Then
that's
the
how
Americans
it works.
Come. Hmm? Then the Americans come.
Yeah, yeah.
And same thing.
Yeah, same thing. It's just point is that you have your groups, you know. So your group is that, but your group is your group to fight with. Not someone else can be. You know. You know. It's like you know. You can't say that to us. We say that to us. You know. You know. It's like you say Bengalis are political, right? Bengalis get so upset. But if you're talking to Bengalis, then it's like, what can you do? These Bengalis are so political. You know? Like I've had so many say that. You know, you're talking with the laborers and this and that, about this and that. Yeah, these Bengalis, you know, I should go somewhere else. You know, go to UP or something. You know, these guys are too much. Yeah. But no one else should say it. You know, like that. I think Jackie Chan found that out. Right? You can't call someone by what they call themselves. You can't call them that.
Yeah.
Only they can call you that. Does that make sense? Okay. Okay.
He was going to say that either way.
Sri Krishna continued, by interaction of my energies, different opinions arise. But for those who have fixed their intelligence on me and controlled their senses, difference of a perception disappear, and consequently the very cause for argument is removed.
Yes.
Right? Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur points out, in the spiritual world, there is no argument between any living entity there, whatever realm they're from when it comes to philosophy. Who's God? What's the jiva? What's in the zero? There's one opinion,
yes,
like that. So it's only when the modes of nature come out, then you see you get all these opinions.
Yes,
like that.
So my sense is a unity in diversity.
Yes. Yes, they're all individuals. They have their own individual taste, but it's not that there's a it's just like everybody agrees that food is important, but now which food you prefer, now that's there. So they all have that one opinion at that. And they also appreciate there's other things beside like this. That's all.
The cooperation can come only when this principle is accepted.
Yeah, only when Krishna is the center.
Yeah,
you know, it's like that thing with the one pebble and then all the rings.
Yes, yes.
Like that. Because as soon as there's more than one pebble, then it's clash.
Yes.
So when Krishna is the center, that's why then there's no difficulty. Yes?
So can we say in terms of tattva, it's one opinion, but then rasa, it's very individual.
It's individual, but at the same time, it's the concept or position of rasa is the same. You know, it means if you're looking at the analytical aspect of rasa.
So from tattva side?
Yes. Yes, but from taste, then that's going to be different. You know, and where they're situated in the tattva will also be different.
Yeah.
But the principle that all this is one thing and that it's a matter of individual taste and relationship, then that's not the problem. Right? That's why sometimes here it's, oh, but I get to choose or this. Hey, that's kind of like, you know, is this a restaurant or what? What's you know? You know what I'm saying? They're worried about that aspect. So it's that one's good, one's bad. The spirit, it's all seen as it's all proper. It's just a matter of your taste.
Yeah.
Right? And so then that answers the point. It's according to taste. And so if you're worried about it and anxiety and looking for, you know, how you say, gain in safety and position and all that, then you've already made your choice. Right? It's called the material world.
Yes.
Like that. Yes. Though there's a variety that you can function within, so, you know.
Yes.
Like that.
Choice.
Yeah, choice is there, yeah.
It's a paradox, actually, but if you look closely, that those who worry about, to keep their options open,
right,
they hardly ever use those options. It's just an idea, it's just a concept.
Yeah. It's just to speculate. It's just to create some kind of anxiety or fear, like that, you know. because there's the ideas, well, if I don't have, then, you know, who's in control, how can I get, and so it's just that kind of thing, you know. I mean, it's, you know, they probably get more benefit out of watching a horror movie or something, you know. You know. No? Yeah. Get more fear out of it or something. Go bungee diving or something, you know, something I mean, extreme.
I suppose it's for those who don't have the guts to do that. They can.
Oh, I see. Okay. Right. Okay. Yeah. In other words, they would never drive to the middle of nowhere and then check into some funny little weird,
you know, hotel.
Yeah, like that. You know, like that. So they watch it. They'll watch it in the movie. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
A little further removed.
Yeah, but it's the same taste. Okay, so there's no difference in perception. That's the cause of the cause of argument.
Yes.
Perception is different. Now, perception is Krishna.
Yes.
Then we see things will be in line. When the perception is on one's own benefits, right, when there's material attachment, as Krishna said in the last chapter, that then causes argument.
Yes.
Because then your desires being frustrated, that's why then you argue.
Yes.
But when Krishna is the center, then the cause for argument's removed.
Yes.
Right? Does that make sense? Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. By connection with the Antakarana, variety arises in the topics of the philosophers. It is like this or that. It is not like this, not like that. Shama means having one's intelligence fixed in the Lord. When their intelligence becomes fixed on the Lord and their senses are under control, then ahankara has been destroyed. The variety disappears. All doubt is destroyed. Then all argument ceases. Right? So there is that oneness, but that means in perception. But they're still individuals. So that's the difficulty, is trying to separate this oneness and difference.
Yes.
And generally, someone will take one school or the other, or they'll use them as they please to establish whichever they prefer. But the point is, they're all there, but they have their natural place where they belong.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Footnote 21. The word Muni means one who can agitate his mind in various ways for mental speculation without coming to a factual conclusion. It is said that every Muni has a different angle of vision, and unless a Muni differs from other Munis, he cannot be called a Muni in the strict sense of the term. Na sav rishir yasya matam na bhinnam. Mahabharata, Vanaparva, 313-117. But a stita deer Muni is, as mentioned herein by the Lord, is different from an ordinary Muni. The Stita Deer Muni is always in Krishna consciousness, for he has exhausted all his business of creative speculation.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's interesting. Creative speculation. You just keep on this, that, until, he's exhausted it. Means, in other words, it doesn't get you anywhere.
Modern education seems to encourage this creative speculation.
Yes. I mean, that's what they're trying for. How many people actually become creative speculators? Right? Very few. You know, teachers tries to start up this nice discussion, throws out some tasty bit. You know, one guy says something, he happens to be the teacher's pet. And the other one or two like this, and then it just dies. Or they throw it out and no one even takes the bait. You know, and then he just goes on to the next thing. And like, oh, well, it's going to be a boring term, this one. Like that. No speculators. Yeah. But yes, that's what they try to do, because it's considered something lofty to be creatively, mentally speculative then. He is called Prasanta Ni Seisha Mano Ratan Tara, Stotra Ratna 43, or one who has surpassed the stage of mental speculations and come to the conclusions that Lord Krishna, Sri Krishna, or Vasudeva is everything. Vasudeva Sarvam Iti Samahatma Sadurlabaha. He is called a Muni, fixed in mind. We know where this is from.
Yes, this is from Bhagavad Gita.
Second chapter.
Okay.
256.
Okay, yeah, yeah, because it's always nice, because you start off, you're not sure who's talking. And as you go, then it becomes obvious. But in the beginning, then. Yeah, because only Prabhupada so pleasantly then presents technical quotes.
Yes.
You know, everyone else would be very academic, and then you'd have the quotes. But then he was very pleasant.
And you can also understand
that. Yeah, you can understand what he's talking about.
Yeah.
BBT purport states, Lord Krishna is Paratattva, the highest truth underlying all other dependent truths. In a society of learned persons who have understood the personality of Godhead to be everything, there is no further cause of philosophical quarrel. Such unity of opinion is not based on the absence of philosophical inquiry, nor on the stifling of rational discussion, but is the natural result of spiritual enlightenment. Right, it's very important, because as soon as we say, you know, about the creative creative speculation, things, oh, then you just, you know, just like whatever it is, you're lemmings, or you are a sheep, or you don't think, you're just like a rock. No, it doesn't mean that. It means that there's no fighting, because you're seeing from the same perspective. Right, because except for that perspective, they don't have an individuality. That is their individuality. You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that just means the devotee has a bit more as part of their personality. Footnote 22. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, dry arguments are inconclusive. A great personality whose opinion does not differ from others is not considered a great sage. Simply by studying the Vedas, which are variegated, one cannot come to the right path by which religious principles are understood. The solid truth of religious principles is hidden in the heart of an unadulterated self-realized soul. Right? Because they're not worried about dry arguments and all that. Mm-hmm. That's the point. See, is that, like, what's his name? We mentioned Rupa Goswami, when the Digvijay Pandit came, he's not interested in dry speculations and arguments based on that, because the person's not a devotee.
Yes.
Right? So he just, you know, he wants to, you know, be the big guy, so he says, yeah, okay, you're the big guy.
Yes.
Right? But because he's insulting his spiritual master, Jiva Goswami therefore makes the comments.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. But the principle is the devotees aren't interested in argument. Mm-hmm. That's not their interest. They're just interested in discussing about Krishna and establishing Krishna. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're trying to get to. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Even the medieval Christian philosophers, they say that for those who taste, there is no disputation anymore.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That was before the Renaissance. When they got inspired to now fight. And then you have the Age of Enlightenment, so it's just getting more and more elevated. Yes. I guess if you stand on your head, it looks more elevated.
Good point.
Yes. Sri Krishna continued, O best among men, because subtle and gross elements mutually enter into one another, philosophers may calculate the number of basic material elements in different ways, right? Because you have the gross and the subtle. They work together. One's inside the other. So then that's why you can calculate different numbers. It's whether you count them as two things or count them as one. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes.
Right, so it's not about numbers. It's we're trying to understand the principle.
Yes, yes.
But then devotees, they get in other shape. Then we have, nine stages of bhakti, from Shraddha to Prema, and then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in one comment in Bhagavatam. He says 14, and then everybody's like, what? But then he just expands. No,
they thought 9 was already too much. So now we have 14. Yeah.
So he basically, the beginning and the end, it's the same, but in the middle he just expands those.
Yeah, well, it's just like you saw when he said, it's coming out where Krishna says we generally take it, 6 stages? You know, birth, growth, maintenance, what do you call it?
Byproducts.
Or, you know, he has so many words there, then dwindling, and then you know, how you say, how you say,
a big dirt map.
Yeah, how you say, what is it, the saying? Old actors don't die, they just fade away. That's a, yeah. So, but then he added in the conception and the gestation.
Maturity, middle age.
Yes,
middle age.
Right?
Middle age also.
You know, so he adds in these, and then you get more.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
So like that, because all it is within that you have also differences. So it's whatever the category, that's your main. But then if you go into it, then you'll see you'll end up with the same number anyway. Because
yes.
It's to explain it, they go. But it's just in their mind, it's easier to explain if you just say this.
Yes. Right? Yes.
Yeah.
Thakur made from Shraddha to praying with 14 points. Or
that's what he was mentioning.
Oh, yeah. That was the thing. Yeah,
yeah, that was he's mentioning. Yeah. Yeah, 14.
Yeah,
like that.
Oh yeah.
Maharaj, since the origin is Krishna, who is unlimited, so we can see an unlimited vision.
Yeah, unlimited. And so why even 9 levels? You got unlimited levels. So then your how you say creative speculation can go on very nicely. Unlimitedly.
That's the postmodernists. They refuse any kind of classification because everything is unique and an exception, and you can't classify anything because then you're like limiting it and stuff. But that just means you can't discuss anything. You can't say anything about anything.
And yeah. They classify themselves. Eh?
Hmm? Yeah. How do they classify themselves?
again,
Mr. Like, Chopra.
Yeah, exactly. good.
Okay. Yeah. So we can't classify you. So then we can't classify you as idiots. Then. Okay. Because each of you is unique in your. They're different. Unique. Okay. All subtle elements are actually present within their gross effects. Right? So then you have subtle element, it's there in the gross effect. Right? Because each one is coming from the other. So from the Lord, then it's coming down. You know, from the jiva and their consciousness, then it's coming down. From the subtle body, then, you know, the metaphysical, then the subtle body, then the gross body. So you can see those things. You know, it's just like the gross body is there, but what you're thinking in your mind, you can see on the face or how they move or...
Yes.
You understand?
Yes.
So it's like that. So it's always the two go together.
And metaphysical is current, Shri?
Metaphysical is current, say.
Current, Shri? You said from metaphysical it comes to subtle world.
Current, Shri.
Current. The causal. Causal body.
Karana Shri.
Karana Shri. Oh, okay. I was getting all kinds of I tried to think of what was this? Karana Sharir. No. Subtle body. Mind, intelligence, the false ego.
Metaphysical means?
Metaphysical? That just means that you have the principles of how all those elements work. Mind, it has its nature, how it works. Then there's the particular bit that each of us has and how it's particularly working. Or not working, you know, as the case may be. Right? The Karna Sharir is I'm the controller and enjoyer.
Yes. Yes.
And that'll be behind everything.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Some things, yeah. Similarly, all gross elements are present within their subtle causes, right? Otherwise, how are they able to be there? Says material creation takes place by progressive manifestation of elements from subtle to gross, right? Because otherwise, if you didn't have, earth must be already there in the subtler ones. Otherwise, how is it there at the end? You know, it wouldn't just pop up out of nowhere. Right? Okay, footnote 23. Vritti, therefore the Buddhist theory that the cause disappears with the appearance of its effect is false, right? Because it still exists.
This is like Satkaryavad, explanation of Satkaryavad, within that, this whole thing is explained in Paramatma.
Oh, okay. This particular point of how all the...
And also, all the, rejecting all the other philosophies, Vivartavad, Buddhist philosophy.
Oh, okay. Oh, nice. Very good. Okay, thus we can find all material elements within any single element. Therefore, No matter which of these thinkers is speaking, and regardless of whether in their calculations they include material elements within their previous subtle causes or else within their subsequent manifest products, I accept their conclusions as authoritative. Right? So they're all correct, all these ones. Because a logical explanation can always be given for each of the different theories. So whatever the theory, you can give a logical explanation. Because you can't explain how this subtle element is in there, this gross element is here, like this.
So the mistake is to think that one of them is like objective.
Yeah, and correct. The others are. No, they're all correct.
Yeah.
But they themselves may argue with each other because of lack of Krishna consciousness. Uh-huh. But technically, the point that those different ways that they're putting together, right, if it's based on the Veda, is correct.
Right. Yes.
Like that. Yes. And so you'll see different times to places they're putting together, depending upon which they want to bring out or not.
Yes.
You know, it's just like Mataji before. She's asking the question about offense.
Yes.
And then offending guru. Okay. So then, you know, it's like, you know, as an example. But then you see she goes into detail on, you know, how offending guru is bad and how it just keeps going there. So you can understand the question's actually about offense to guru.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Because it's already included in when you say offense.
Yes.
Or if you say offense to guru, mm-hmm. then, you know what I'm saying? So yes. You expand according to what you're trying to establish.
Yes.
Like that.
Yes.
But it's not that you can't explain all other points also.
Mm-hmm.
But they argue because of the, not necessarily the devotional understanding.
Yes.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Natai Gaura Prabhupada ki.